DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Dog Nation, I report to you here on this early January 1st morning to start 2018 that the Dog Nation is in full effect out here in Los Angeles. It's early, as I said. I've already been down in our hotel lobby in downtown L.A., and I've already seen a lot of Georgia fans kind of milling about. They've got their styrofoam coolers ready. And that's kind of always been, for me, one of the most interesting things about seeing these real long road trips and how many Georgia fans effectively try to find a way to make it very similar to any other game that Georgia plays. They've got the full tailgate set up, even though they've probably flown 3,000 miles to get here and had to rent a car, rent a vehicle. But Dog Nation getting its tailgates ready to go. Georgia fans, whether they're going to be in California or watching somewhere on TV around the world, everybody's got their thoughts, their minds, and attention on what's going to happen here in just a few hours in Pasadena, California with the Rose Bowl. Today is game day. Hey, everybody, it's Brandon Adams here on Dog Nation Daily. We're glad to have you with us. For it is a kind of a special program for us. We will be a little shorter overall. We're not on the radio today. We will have a podcast posted, though, because this is, even though it's January 1st and Georgia's got a big game today, it is still a Monday, so we'll post the podcast, the audio version for the folks who expect to have that delivered to them every Monday through Friday. Over the course of the rest of the time, well, we're just going to talk here a little bit. I'll talk to you. You can talk to me. We're also going to hear from some folks later on in our show today. The guy that'll call the game tonight on ESPN television, ESPN's Chris Fowler, he'll be with us here live on the program, and we'll get a couple interesting things from Fowler during our discussion. Of course, he's, you know, in addition to being the play-by-play guy now, longtime host of ESPN's College Game Day. So this is a guy that sort of knows the storylines that go into a game like this, the build-up for something like this. And I'll ask him what he finds fascinating about Georgia, what he maybe thinks America's going to learn here about the Dogs, because if we're honest with ourselves, we know that of the four teams in the college football playoff, Georgia along with the Sooners of Oklahoma here in this Rose Bowl, Alabama and Clemson over in the Sugar Bowl, Georgia is probably the team that most of America knows the least about. Georgia's the newcomer here, Clemson's the defending national champion, Alabama's been all in all the playoffs going back to the inaugural season in 2014. Of course, Oklahoma's got Baker Mayfield, but good stuff from Chris Fowler. And at the end, Fowler makes a pretty strong prediction about this may not be the only big moment that Kirby Smart has at the University of Georgia. If you're a Georgia fan, you're going to like that from Chris Fowler. We will hear from Kirby Smart on our program today as well, including a very blunt assessment of what Smart inherited when he took the Georgia job and kind of what he's had to work through here the first couple of years to get Georgia to where it is right now. Interesting stuff coming up from Georgia coach Kirby Smart on that. Of course, we'll also talk in just a moment to ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit. Herbstreit obviously played the quarterback position. He's an analyst that's watched a lot of very good quarterbacks play, but he's impressed by what he sees from Jake Fromm, and he's got some interesting comparisons with Fromm and the quarterback that he'll obviously face off against in the Rose Bowl later on today. That's Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield. Before we get into any of that, though, let me dive into just a few of your comments here. Like I said, we'll be a little casual here today. We'll give you a chance to sound off. I'll talk with you as well, and we'll just have a great time getting ready for this thing. If you're up early on the West Coast watching us, thanks for being with us. I understand back in Georgia, I've already talked to my wife this morning. She said it was snowing a little bit in Georgia, at least up in the suburbs of North Atlanta where we live. So kind of a lot going on there in Georgia, so we'll try to keep you warm with a little Rose Bowl talk. My understanding is it's supposed to be pretty warm in Pasadena yesterday, and if you saw some of our coverage from Pasadena when we went over there yesterday, man, that is a beautiful place. Y'all, wait till you see this thing on TV. I mean, the San Gabriel Mountains in the background, the sun, this is a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I can only imagine what it must cost to live there because it is a beautiful backdrop. All right, let's dive into some comments here. And we will get ready to hear from Kirk Herbstreit in just a moment. Ab Harding says Georgia's going to run all over Oklahoma today. 297 yards, combined rushing yards, and 3 touchdowns. Well, obviously, if that happens, Ab, you know what's going to happen then. Georgia's going to be on its way to coasting to a victory. And I do think the Dogs want to establish that running game. I think that's a big part of what Georgia wants to do, needs to do here today. But I think, and you'll hear this some from Kirk Herbstreit later on as well, or at least I heard him say this yesterday. I don't know if he said this actually in our interview or not, but the passing game is still important here. And we mentioned this on our special Sunday edition of Dog Nation Daily yesterday, that, you know, Oklahoma's giving up like 7.5 yards per attempt with the passing game this year. That's like 80th best in the country. So mixing in some well-timed passes on early downs, what you call standard downs, third and short or second and medium or on first down, you know, throwing the ball when maybe Oklahoma's expecting you to run it only opens things up for the running game even more, because as good as Georgia's running game is, as good as the Georgia offensive line has been, there is still a degree to which that even an undersized defense like Oklahoma can have some success stopping the run if it knows that it's coming every single time. So I think that's a really interesting point. We'll kind of watch how that goes from there on that. Let me get a couple other quick comments, and then we'll hear from Kirk Herbstreit. Gary Stokes is talking about what's been talked about so much here this week, how Georgia's going to deal with the loss of Natres Patrick. Obviously, we expect Monty Rice to be a big part of that. I think that Rice is a terrific, terrific replacement, if you will, for Natres Patrick. And I guess Reggie Carr, you'd mentioned in that discussion as well. Wayne Fullen, one of our buddies up in Pennsylvania, says it's 5 inches of snow. That was on Saturday. Now 9 inches of this morning, or -9 degrees, I should say, in South Central PA. Wayne, cuddle up and get warm. And appreciate you being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. Nicholas Dwayne Moat says Dogs can win this game 42-21. So obviously a lot of confidence rolling in on the part of Georgia fans as we get ready for the Rose Bowl here today. We're glad to have you with us here on a special edition of our program, Dog Nation Daily. We call it the Daily Podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're available as a podcast today and on video, and a special guest interview to give to you right now. I had a chance yesterday to catch up with the very well-known broadcaster for ESPN, the color analyst for tonight's Rose Bowl on ESPN and on ABC. It is Kirk Herbstreit. I think you'll enjoy this. He gets into a lot of what he likes about Georgia and a lot of what he thinks Georgia needs to do to win this game today.
You played quarterback. You've obviously covered a million good quarterbacks since you've been an analyst. What do you think about Fromm as a true freshman? How do you think he's been able to handle this season with the poise with which he's sort of performed all year long?
I think it's been fun to watch. I read a lot about him, but until I watched him, I really didn't know what to expect. But anybody, I don't care who you are, and I don't care if you think Notre Dame's good or not, you go into that environment and your first career start at night, and you find a way to win, you can count on one hand how many people can do that. So that's when I learned right away that this kid had something unique about his moxie and just the intangibles of playing the position. I mean, I was at the Georgia practice the other day, and I'm looking around. They have serious, big human beings that have been around and played a lot of football. I'm imagining that this kid enrolled in Georgia last year at this time, walks into that locker room, makes himself at home, goes through spring, shows up, you know, by summer. Next thing you know, he's in the lineup in South Bend. And I have, playing that position a long time ago, I just have such appreciation for anybody who has that ability to do that. And then from there, it was just like boom, 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 boom. And I know they had a little setback at Auburn, but they were able to recover in Atlanta. And I just think the kid, he's got a little bit of a swag about him that I think his veterans believe in him that he's going to make plays.
Maybe an obvious question, but because his counterpart's the Heisman Trophy winner, Oklahoma scores at least 30 every single game, put extra pressure on Fromm in a day like this?
I think we can look at it like that, but I don't think he looks at it like that. I think if Georgia's smart, they're going to put him in those first and 10 play action positions. I would not want to throw when it's 3rd and 7 in this game. I would want to, and you know that Georgia is going to have to be able to run. But when you go play action on early downs, just so you understand what that does, I'm a linebacker, and I'm thinking run, 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 and all of a sudden it's play action, and I'm coming up to stop the run, and now they hit the tight end behind me for 20. And then I'm thinking, okay, run, run, run. Now they pull it out again, maybe a few plays later, and they hit a receiver crossing. Now I'm not as quick to come in there to fill against the run. Now I can go back to running the football. So by throwing on early downs, it really opens up the running game. So that's why I don't think he's going to look at it like, oh, my God, I really got to perform. I think they're looking at it like, we're going to put the game on your shoulders. You're going to have to make some plays. Then we're going to get back to doing what we do in the running game. Being very balanced, I think, will be essential for Georgia.
Can you beat Oklahoma just by rushing 4, or do you have to send extra pressure against Baker Mayfield?
Well, it depends on how it plays out. Like I said earlier, I think the Georgia front and the linebackers that they have are very different other than Ohio State, very different from anybody that that Oklahoma's really seen. They're physical, they're fast, they can get pressure without blitzing. They've shown that ability to do that. So that's the dream scenario for Georgia. If they can't get to him, and then they have to start to, you know, take some chances and bring some pressure, you got to get to him, because this kid can create, he can avoid. You've seen how many times he's able to maneuver his way around the pocket, sidearm throws. His thing is he buys time and scrambles around to throw. And his receivers, when you watch this game, watch how his receivers, when he scrambles, they must do a lot of scramble drills. They really work in sync with him. It's not just like backyard football where he takes off and they're just randomly running around. They clearly have their spots, and that's going to be something that Georgia will have to be able to defend when he takes off, if you blitz.
How about Leslie Irving Turner in the comments section saying, listening in Malibu, California, about getting ready to drive over to Pasadena for the game. By the way, when many of you hear the podcast, you should know, as always, we're recording this 10 a.m. Eastern time, which is about 7 a.m. Pacific, a little after 7 a.m. Pacific. That's why if you're watching us right now, you see the sun coming up in the background. So a lot of Dog Nation getting ready to make their preparations to head towards Pasadena. We're glad to be part of your pregame coverage. A little different kind of Dog Nation daily, being able to do that, but really enjoyed having Kirk Herbstreit here on Dog Nation Daily here today, and really loved his insight into the game he gets to call. We don't hear Herbstreit on a lot of Georgia games necessarily, but we will hear him for the Rose Bowl today. Interesting stuff like this. Really good stuff there from Kirk Herbstreit. Eric Bernard Clark says, I'm going to say it, it's going to be the most dominant defensive performance of the season today. How about Eric Bernard Clark picking 38-0 Dogs over the Oklahoma Sooners? I think we've seen the hysteria, what's the better word? Not hysteria, but just the overall enthusiasm about it actually being game day. You know, I think there's been such a buildup, such a wait for this, that the excitement of the fact that the game is here has brought out some pretty bold predictions on the part of our audience. But that's one of the reasons why we love the comments here on Dog Nation Daily, because we love to give Dog Nation a chance to sound off about that. Speaking of that, let me actually transition here before we hear from Georgia coach Kirby Smart and talk about that buildup and talk about how these coaches have handled that. It's a part of our Aldi Simply Smarter game planning. And I think when you talk about Simply Smarter game planning here for today, I think what you look back on, unlike, say, the last 24 to 48 hours, what you realize is these two coaches, and I think it was also true in the Sugar Bowl yesterday, too. I don't know how much of the Sugar Bowl media stuff you got a chance to catch up with yesterday, but Dabo Swinney had the great line about, well, we're here. I don't know why we're here, but we're here to answer questions. I think that, you know, they were burned out. Saban kind of ribbed the media yesterday about the lack of enthusiasm he was seeing in the room from them yesterday, asking he and Dabo questions. I think you had some of that at the Rose Bowl press conference that I was a part of yesterday. Kirby Smart looked exhausted. He looked like, you know, he hasn't slept all week, and I'm sure the Simply Smarter game planning has been going probably 24 hours a day for him on all of that. So I think in these final stages, these sort of final moments in building up to the game, the game planning is not so much about the X's and O's, how you're going to stop Baker Mayfield, what you're going to do offensively to put some points on the board. At this point in time, you've either got a good one or you don't. But how you handle those final 24 hours, I do think matters in terms of the mindset with which your team approaches the actual game. You know, the one thing that both Smart and Lincoln Riley said yesterday was that the day before the game, you had to try to make it feel like any other game. You know, the Georgia Team Hotel, I had reason to be over there a couple times this week. It was a very festive place. You had a lot of fans and, you know, alumni boosters kind of, you know, mixed in. You know, same place the team was. This was a loud hotel late at night. There's a lot of partying and celebrating going on, as you might imagine. But Georgia pulls away from that last night. I think, you know, kind of quarantines themselves off and really kind of locks in on the task at hand. I'm sure Oklahoma's doing the same thing here. And as these guys wake up today, they're going to do so, even though the game's going to be played in a sunny locale, in a spot that a lot of these guys have never visited before. The football field itself is no different than the one they played on back in Athens or around the other buildings around the rest of the SEC. And I think the Simply Smarter game planning for Kirby Smart today means trying to find a way to instill that idea that this is going to be like any other game today. The stakes may be higher, the location may be different, but we're going to treat this like we've treated all of our other games, and that's obviously worked out well for Georgia thus far, to the tune of a 12-1 season, and this close, on the doorstep, potentially, of a spot in the College Football Playoff National Championship game. It's Simply Smarter Game Planning. It is brought to you by Aldi, and of course, it's New Year's Day, a great holiday, and a great time for you to celebrate the holiday. Maybe a delicious meal, the bubbly spirits, your favorite company. By the way, speaking of that, do people still do the the collard greens and black eyed peas for New Year's. Mark, do you know what this is? The collard, yeah. The collard greens are for money, is that right? The black eyed peas, I think it's for good luck. I may be wrong what the black eyed peas are for. I know the greens are for money. So if that's still a thing, Aldi's going to have a great deal for you on that. You can stop by everything that you need to get everything for a magical holiday soiree, just the old-fashioned collard greens and black-eyed peas. You got a tailgate going on for the Rose Bowl. They got you taken care of there. It is Simply Smarter Shopping in Aldi, and we appreciate them bringing Simply Smarter Game Planning to us here on Dog Nation Daily. I'll get more of your comments coming up in just a moment. I love what Ashley Watson says in the comment section. California just got more beautiful with all that red running around there today. Yeah. Listen, Ashley, it has been cool to see over the last 24 hours or so because we've been here since Tuesday, and early in the week, you did not see a lot of Georgia fans, but I was in Hollywood some on Saturday, a lot of Georgia fans there. Beverly Hills last night, a lot of Georgia fans, of course, there. Downtown L.A., Georgia fans all over the place, I would imagine. Now, I didn't take part in the, ringing in the New Year type stuff. I was already kind of tucked in bed by a lot of the time a lot of that kind of stuff went down, but I imagine a lot of Georgia fans were really enjoying that and having themselves a good time. By the way, I will say this, and I promise we'll get back to Kirby Smart after that. This is my first time ringing in the new year on the West Coast. Can I tell you something I was a little bit surprised about? Do you know that if you turned on the TV last night, like 11:45 local time, they're just showing a replay of what happened in New York? Like, you'd think they have, like, a West Coast, like, ball drop of some kind, you know, some sort of special LA, Las Vegas type deal. Watching it on TV a little bit. It's just like the replay from New York from earlier, and I think there was some stuff from New Orleans. It was a little bit of a letdown, a little bit of a disappointment on that, if you don't mind me saying so. Kirby Smart, though, no letdown, disappointment from him. He's obviously focused and ready to go for this game. He's been leading his team in preparations all week, and he spoke to the media for a final time yesterday before the Rose Bowl today. And one of the things that he was asked about, and I thought this was a really interesting answer, and you know, it opens up a lot of discussion points. It's the kind of thing that we may talk more about 3 weeks from now than we're talking about today, because obviously we're focusing on this game. But the question to Smart, Lincoln, Riley both were, they sort of inherit good programs. You know, Riley steps in because Bob Stoops somewhat surprisingly decided to retire. Kirby Smart stepped in before the 2016 season because of obviously what had gone down with Mark Richt. And they were kind of asked, you know, to talk about the challenges of taking over these programs, not rebuilding jobs, but programs that are already pretty good. Well, Kirby Smart went directly to a point that a lot of Georgia fans, I think, will agree with, that the thing that he fought in taking this job, yes, the program had talent, yes, the team overall was pretty good, but maybe there was a little bit of complacency. Here's a very, I think, honest answer from Kirby Smart about what it was like taking over the Georgia program at the start of 2016.
Well, I think in my case, different than Lincoln's, is it, you know, there's two kinds of philosophies there. There's where you come in and scratch, overhaul, throw everything out because you have conviction that what was done before wasn't working. Then there's you've got to win the players over because they may not see it as there was a problem. They may see it as they were completely happy with winning 9-10 games a year, and that's what I call complacency. And you've got to be able to make some changes and make them in the right direction to turn the program around, whether it's new ideas, new energy, whatever it is. There's different ways to do things, and I think we all realize that. And in our case, that was probably the greatest challenge, was not accepting what had been done before as the norm and convincing the players that are currently on the team that we can do better. We can do better things, and we can improve. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do it this way. Well, that may not be the right way in their mind. You've got to convince them it is. And sometimes that takes more work than just coming in where a team's hungry and more aggressive to learn and listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, so listen, I think that's a really interesting answer from Smart. It's the kind of thing in terms of, you know, what are the implications of what he says there? You probably unpack that more in the off season than you do here on the day of a college football playoff semifinal, but clearly battling complacency. And Smart's addressed that before. I don't know that he's discussed it in quite as stark and as blunt of terms as he discussed it yesterday. I thought that was pretty interesting. As an example, though, of maybe Smart just getting a little tired of the same questions, and I think we've all, you know, grown a little weary of the constant conversation. And listen, I know my role in all of this. I've certainly contributed to a lot of the hype and the buildup for this game. But at this point, everybody's just sort of ready to play the game now. An example of that from Kirby Smart. He's asked yesterday about, hey, what do you tell your quarterback, Jake Fromm, as he gets ready to do battle with Baker Mayfield, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner? How do you prepare him for that? And maybe an example of Smart sort of just getting a little tired of those kinds of questions. Here's Kirby again.
Well, good thing for him is he's not playing against Baker. You know, they're not on the field at the same time unless we put him out there at defensive back or something, which that would really concern me. So he doesn't have to do that. The good news is he has done a good job of using the people around him to help him. Also, he has played in some really big games this year for us, so he's got some experience. You know, traveling to Notre Dame the first time, I was a lot more worried about how he was going to respond to adversity, to mistakes and things like that. Haven't seen him play throughout the year, play in our conference, play in the SEC championship game. I think he'll have the confidence to respond the right way. It doesn't mean he won't have jitters. You know, Baker played in this game, what, 2 years ago, I think, and he was maybe a sophomore or junior. I'm not sure what year he was then, but you know, you have to grow through that. You have to use the people around you. But we've made sure he understands that he's not in a statistical warfare with Baker Mayfield. We know that Baker's a very good player.
So obviously you understand the point that Kirby Smart's trying to make there, that it's not as much of a Fromm versus Mayfield game as maybe some people want to make it out to be because they're not on the field at the same time. And yet I do think, and you heard a little bit of this in the interview with Kirk Herbstreit, I do think there is, to a degree, a little bit of extra pressure on Fromm because while he doesn't have to match Mayfield throw for throw, the one thing that he does have to do is lead an offense that matches Oklahoma point for point. And from that perspective, it's a little more challenging for Fromm than a lot of the games he's played this season because Georgia's offense was just more dynamic than a lot of the teams it was playing. Against Oklahoma, you've got to be pretty good to be as dynamic as the Sooners expect to be. Now, I think that Fromm is going to be equal to that challenge today, but it's not unreasonable to wonder how he fits into this storyline given the fact that Mayfield has been a part of an Oklahoma offense that seemingly never scores below 30 points. So I think that's kind of an interesting subplot for today's game. Something else that Kirby Smart's asked about, though, you know, the great seeming contrast between the physical SEC, the more up-tempo, maybe more finesse Big 12. Kirby Smart, though, says that when he looks at these two leagues, he actually doesn't see as many differences as some people do. Here's more from Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that the two conferences are as far apart as maybe you make them to be. Because I think when you watch both conferences, the SEC has slowly morphed closer and more spread elements. I mean, you look at what Missouri does, what Kentucky does, and you start watching all these other teams. I think Auburn spread. I mean, you know, what is spread? We always have that debate. What is a team that can run the ball physically? Oklahoma runs the ball. They run the ball, and they're physical at running the ball. So are a lot of teams in our conference. They throw the ball really well. They spread you out and make you defend all areas of the field. I think all offenses are trying to do that now. I just don't see the old traditional I formation pound you, which I think you may be making that synonymous with the SEC, which I don't think the SEC is that way. I think it's slowly grown to be a more of a spread out conference. Probably not the same offensive numbers, obviously, that the Big 12 is, but it's not as big a disparity as you'd think.
Obviously, I would never pretend to know more about football than Kirby Smart does, or even know in the same conversation of football that Kirby Smart does. But I guess if I was going to follow up a question with what Kirby Smart just talked about there, what I would ask him is it true that the SEC and Big 12 are similar, or is it true that Oklahoma right now is a little bit more like other teams in the SEC? Because I think there are a lot of different brands of spread in the Big 12. I think Kirby's 100% right that the spread is sort of, you know, become a little bit more prolific in the SEC as of late. He cited some of the examples of that. One of the teams that he did not mention and he could have mentioned was Alabama. Alabama, while Kirby Smart was defensive coordinator there in 2014-2015 and last year in Kirby's first year at Georgia when Kiffin was still over there, I mean, Alabama was essentially a spread team at that point in time. And what I have said is, and look, I'm not a former coach. There's a chance I may have the X's and O's wrong on this, but the offense that in the SEC that probably this Oklahoma team reminds me the most of is the Alabama team that was led by Lane Kiffin, because you did have some spread concepts, but you also had some power running game. I think a lot of the Big 12 teams cannot find a way to get that done, but obviously Oklahoma can because it's got the depth at running back to be able to do that. So I think that that what you see here is an Oklahoma offense that could probably fit into the SEC, but some of the teams it's been playing just are a lot more finesse than the sort of typical SEC team. That's at least my perspective on that. Of course, Georgia today going to lean heavily on its two running backs, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, two guys that have been leaders of this program, not just this year, but throughout their Georgia career. Kirby Smart was asked yesterday, what's it like thinking about being at the end of the run here? Either two more games to come, maybe just one more game for Chubb and Michel. Does that seem weird to think that their time in the Georgia uniform is coming to an end? Kirby actually gives a pretty funny answer here. Here he is.
No, it's not hard to believe we're in the final stage because it seems like they've been there for 20 years. I mean, they've been playing for so long, and they've been such a special tandem, and they got such a special relationship. So I'm really excited to see those two guys. They've been really focused this week. They're two of the most driven guys on our team, the ones that don't get distracted, the ones that are in every meeting. I mean, they sit in every special teams meeting, even though they're not on it. They're in there at the front of the room. They're making sure guys are attentive. I mean, they're what you want to be the face of your organization and leadership in your organization. And I give each of them tremendous kudos to the way they've managed coming back, being bought in, you know, not being selfish, being patient, and doing a great job of leading our program. And they'll be forever remembered as, you know, probably the best duo to play at Georgia.
Yeah, listen, I know that you all feel the same way I do on this. You know, hopefully it's two more games for these guys in Georgia uniforms, but watch them closely. Watch Michel today. Watch Chubb today. Enjoy them in this moment and the chance to be on such a big stage to close their Georgia career. I've loved seeing those two guys this week, always side by side, always smiling, taking in every moment of this. They seem to be appreciating their time in the sun, both literally and figuratively, and it is a great thing to see. And I obviously have Georgia fans hope a big part of this game plan today centers around them. One of the guys that has great insight into how Chubb and Michel might be used and kind of what their significance is to the rest of college football here and the country that's going to be tuning in to see them today is the guy who's got the play-by-play call for this game today here on ESPN. He's a longtime voice of the sport, Chris Fowler. A lot of really keen insight into George. And stick around at the very end of this interview because Fowler seems, I think, to be a pretty big believer that there's a very bright future to come for the Dogs with Kirby Smart as coach, that this spot in the college football playoff may not be the only big stage these Dogs are on. Here's Chris Fowler. I think you'll enjoy it.
So when you look at Georgia, they are sort of the newcomer to this party, right? I think the country probably knows more about Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma. What's fascinating to you about the Dogs?
Well, I mean, you've got a team that represents the great tradition of Georgia and a very traditional type of football team, a team that runs, that is physical, plays great defense, is sound, doesn't make mistakes. I mean, Vince Dooley would be proud of that kind of football team, and I think it's very reflective of Georgia's tradition. I think you're right, though. I do think that Georgia has not been the face of the SEC to a national audience. That clearly has been Alabama. So I think that not enough of the country is really acquainted with Georgia's stars. They don't know enough about Nick Chubb, considering the career he's had. They're still getting to learn about Jake Fromm, who hasn't done a lot of interviews all year. So he's been this name, this guy in a highlight, but he hasn't been a personality to people. Roquan, I think, it being the face of the defense, is still not well known enough. But all that could change on Monday night.
You saw Baker Mayfield at practice this week. You tweeted your concern that he was going to be 100%. Obviously, it's a storyline that y'all want to be able to cover. I mean, what did you see from Mayfield during practice this week?
Well, practices are closed, and we're kind of sworn to secrecy. He didn't sound good. I think you saw at the press conference that his voice has been affected, and the flu symptoms are very real. He's been taking every medication known to man, I think, to try to get over it. But I don't think it's going to affect his preparation in a significant way or his performance on Monday night. I think that, you know, a competitor like that, adrenaline is a terrific medicine for whatever ails you, and I think he'll be fine. But it's not ideal to go into an athletic event without your body feeling good, and he hasn't felt good this week. So, I think he'll overcome that.
You've covered Alabama for a long time. You've seen a lot of SEC programs try to copy Alabama with former Saban assistants. Why do you think that Kirby Smart has sort of replicated that better than maybe Jim McElwain or some other former Saban assistants were able to?
Well, number one, Kirby's surname is very appropriate. I mean, he's a smart guy who took copious notes and observed Nick's way. And I think when you watch Georgia practice, when you watch Kirby conduct himself sometimes, you see a reflection of Nick, and you'd be a foolish not to emulate that, having been around it. Good question. I think that Georgia's personnel was strong. I think that some credit has to go to Mark Richt because the cupboard was not bare. There were terrific athletes on campus, and Kirby's ability to get them to buy in, to understand that there was still a lot to play for in their careers, even though they hadn't had success, and even though they didn't have the success they wanted in his first year, shows that he's got all the skills that you want in a head coach, and not just a good defensive mind. So I think he learned from Nick in lots of different ways, but I think people have realized for a while that if you get fresh energy in Athens and you get Georgia cranked up, I don't want to say sleeping giant because it wasn't exactly a sleep, but I think all Georgia fans would agree it wasn't exactly reaching its potential either. I think people are now seeing on the field, on the recruiting trail, look out. This is not a one-year phenomenon. Georgia is to be reckoned with in the conference and nationally, I think, for years to come.
Good stuff from Chris Fowler there. Call the game tonight for ESPN. We appreciate he and Kirk Herbstreit both being on Dog Nation Daily today. By the way, Jose Serrano in the comments section was talking about having to wake up early, like 6 a.m., 5 a.m., to get to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl parade. That is one of the sort of the sneaky storylines for a lot of these fans. If you're going to the parade today, you got no sleep at all, because I can tell you that L.A. was popping and loud. I was in my hotel room, but you could hear it on the streets well after midnight. A lot of fireworks, a lot of celebrating and revelry, and then the parade starts early in the morning Pacific time, so a lot of folks obviously dealing with that. But stay awake, drink coffee, do whatever you got to do, and wherever you are around Dog Nation, get ready to enjoy this one. I love watching these comments roll in today as Georgia fans all share their perspective on what this game means. And it's as big as any of us have ever been a part of. I can promise you that. It is a monumental day for sure, and we think it's going to be a good day for the Dogs. We think Georgia's going to win. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. talking about it again, another episode of Dog Nation Daily. Very special edition of the Dixie Vodka Post Game Show from the bottom of Rose Bowl Stadium here today. Make sure you're back on the Dog Nation Facebook page for that. We'll have the dog walk for you live from Pasadena a little later on. Jeff Sintel going to be a part of that. I'll also squeeze in real quick here before we say goodbye. Georgia's playing for a national championship maybe after today. Florida is, well, they're sitting around doing nothing. No bowl for them. And 299 days from right now, Georgia's going to beat them again. That's our Gatorhead countdown. Even on New Year's Day, we do the Gatorhead countdown, because here on Dog Nation Daily, our New Year's resolution is to hate Florida more in 2018 than we hated them in 2017. And when that's one I think we'll find a way to live up to. But that's something to worry about later on. For now, it is Rose Bowl Day. It is a unbelievable platform for the Georgia program to be placed upon today, with a great opportunity ahead of it. Wherever you are, find some friends, settle in, get ready to watch it in California, anywhere in the world. Just take it all in and enjoy every moment of it with the people that you've always celebrated these kinds of games with. Thanks for letting Dog Nation Daily be a part of your pregame, though, for it. We appreciate your time on that. We'll look forward to bringing you more coverage later on today. Y'all have a great day. Happy New Year. Enjoy the Rose Bowl.